I'm your host, Christina Reitzman, and I'm a wife, mom to three beautiful girls, previous speech therapist assistant for 12 years, and I'm a current elementary public school teacher for the last 5 years. I'm a passionate mental health advocate, and I've been an anxiety warrior and survivor since childhood. Get ready to be inspired, share, and learn tips and strategies to heal from anxiety and understand how to help your children and others around you. You're not alone, my friend. Today, we are going to be talking about love languages and what they are and how they are beneficial to you in your relationships and your mental health. So when you're hearing this, today is September 5th when I'm recording this, and this morning I woke up and I went outside and took my dogs out, and it felt like fall, like it's getting closer to fall. I love fall. I love summer. But I love fall as well for different reasons. It doesn't smell like fall yet, if you know what I'm talking about. But it felt cooler outside, and I got my coffee mug out that says I love fall most of all because I was just feeling it. I put on a wax melt that's called Orange Cinnamon Roll. So it smells like fall in my house. Just things that bring me some joy. Another reason why I love fall is because I love the leaves turning colors. And it's also my birthday month in October. So my birthday month, not because I get things, not because I get things bought for me. I love to do that for myself. Like, I like to go shopping, and that's part of my love language, my self-love, and we'll get into that. But I love my birthday like everyone does, I would think, because you get more attention, and like, what I love the most about my birthday is that all I ask for is for things to be done for me, because that's how I feel most loved. I feel most loved when my family does special things for me, or like my kids make me a card, or they show that they love me through their words and their actions, not necessarily buying me a gift. I'm not really a flower person. Like, I love flowers, but I would prefer my husband go on a walk with me and find wildflowers and pick them than go out and buy me flowers, because that is an act of service. That is an action that he did because he was thinking of me. He didn't go out and spend money. He showed that he loved me by seeing something I know I would like and picking it for me. I would much prefer that. And maybe a lot of you do too. So that has to do with my love languages. So we're going to talk about different love languages. And I actually learned something new when I researched this. I thought I knew a lot about love languages, but I did not know that there's also, besides the five love languages, there's also seven love styles that kind of go along with the five love languages, but there's a little more added to it, so we'll talk about that too. All right, so what is a love language? Love languages are different ways of expressing and receiving love. And that means like how you feel most loved, how you express your love, and how you feel most appreciated or cared for. And that can be in a romantic relationship, family relationship, friendships, and even the workplace. The five main love languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, physical touch, and receiving gifts. It's very important to know your spouse's or boyfriend or girlfriend or friend or coworker's love language and your own. People with a physical love language feel loved when they receive physical affection, like hugs, holding hands, snuggles. They want their partners to show they are attracted to them and initiate loving touches. That may be through just being together on the couch watching a movie and just leaning up on each other, holding hands, massage, rubbing your feet, scratching your back, just being there and being present and just a loving touch to the other person. Things to avoid would be not showing any affection whatsoever physically, not wanting to give hugs, give touches. Kevin, for example, his love language, his main one is physical touch. And we have a thing where if I leave the room, I have to give him a hug and a kiss goodbye. So it sounds funny, but it works, and he appreciates it. Even if I'm just going into another room and I come back 5 minutes later, if I enter a room or leave a room, I give him a hug and a kiss. I try to remember to. I give him a hug and a kiss. Hello and goodbye. So my main love language is acts of service. And for me, that means I feel most loved when things are done for me without me having to ask, like laundry, dishes, cleaning the house, make me a card, write me a love note, pick flowers from outside and bring them in for me. Like that, those are acts of service to me. And it's a very close percentage to words of affirmation for me, which means that I feel most loved when I am told not just I love you, but why. Like, I'm proud of you. I love you. You mean this much to me. I love it when you do this. I'm thankful for you. Things like that make me feel most loved and appreciated. Now, these things are really important to know because when someone's love language is not being filled, they tend to do their love language to other people, even if that is not that person's love language. So if Kevin's love language is not being filled, like he is not feeling as loved as he wants to be, like through physical touch, he will show his love language to me instead of fulfilling my love language, if that makes sense. He won't be showing that he cares about me through my love language. He'll be doing his love language to me. So be on the lookout for that. It's very interesting. Like when you are doing your love language to other people and not paying attention to what their love language is, that means that you are not getting your love language filled. You are not feeling as loved and as cared about as you need, which can actually be very difficult in relationships with family, friends, coworkers, romantic relationships, spouses, all that. If you are not fulfilled with your love language and you're doing your love language on other people, they're not getting filled, and then you're all just empty. You have empty buckets, and you're going throughout the day, every day, not feeling as loved and cared for as you are needing for you. So to find out your love language, you can actually look online. There are free quizzes to find out your love language of the 5 love languages, or you can also look up the 7 love styles, which I learned about the other day. So first of all, let me tell you what my love languages are, the percentages, and also my family's. It's really important to know your kids' love language. It was easy to give my family the love language quiz, except for Kira. Kira threw a massive fit, didn't want to do it, because she's 16. She's just like, oh my gosh, mom, why? Why do I have to do this? It was pretty much spot on what I thought it was, because I pay attention to their love language, but I wanted to know for sure. Cadence's was actually very surprising to me, and I'll get into that. So Kevin's love language is 40% physical touch, 30% quality time, 13% words of affirmation, 10% acts of service, and 7% receiving gifts. Mine is 33% words of affirmation, and I think mine switches depending on the day. So most of the time it's acts of service, but yesterday when I took it again, just to see, it was 33% words of affirmation. But then when I took the 7 love styles quiz, my main one was acts of service. So I think it's a good mix for me. Anyway, 33% words of affirmation, 27% acts of service, 23% quality time. So those for me are my top three, like how I most feel loved and appreciated. Physical touch for me is only about 10%, and receiving gifts is 7%. Kira's is 37% receiving gifts, which I had a really good feeling was because she's most happy when she gets what she wants. Like, she just seems happiest and more joyful when she receives gifts out of the blue that she wasn't even expecting. 33% acts of service, 20% words of affirmation, 10% quality time, and 0% physical touch. She is a teenager. This is typical. Now, Cadence's was surprising to me. She was 40% physical touch. That was the highest one. And it's surprising to me because she's a teenager and she gets cringy whenever I'm like, can I have a hug? Or if I try to cuddle her, because she likes cuddles. She likes snuggles. She likes hugs. All that stuff. When she's feeling down, she'll come to you and want a hug. But if you go to her and just bombard her with hugs and cuddles, she'll be like, oh, stop. So it's got to be kind of like on her terms, which again is typical for a teenager if you didn't know that. Now for me as a parent of teens and a preteen, this is really difficult for me because I really want cuddles and snuggles still as a mom. I feel like that mom from the Goldbergs where the mom just wants snuggies and huggies and cuddles. I feel like her because every time her kids want a hug or to be snuggled, she's just like, yes, yes. Parents of little ones, you will get there one day and you will just look at other families that have little ones and you just want to be like, enjoy it now, because when they're teenagers, they will not want snuggles and hugs all the time. They'll want them from their boyfriends instead. So parents, if you have little ones that are not yet preteen or teenagers, enjoy this time, because when they are teenagers, and especially if they have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you will probably not get as many hugs or cuddles or snuggles. It's unfortunate, but it happens. I'm very fortunate to have Taylor and Cadence that still want cuddles and snuggles. Cadence in her own time, but Taylor is very much like Kevin in his physical touch, 30% for her. So Cadence, it said 40% physical touch, quality time 27%, words of affirmation is 20%, acts of service 10%, and receiving gifts 3%. For Taylor, physical touch is 30%, words of affirmation is 20%, receiving gifts is 20%, acts of service is 15%, and quality time is 15%. I thought this was very accurate for both of them. They love quality time, like mommy-daughter time, daddy-daughter time. They get really excited about that. They're more excited about that and sitting and just spending time together, watching a movie and cuddling. Also, words of affirmation, just telling them how proud of them we are. They seem more joyful and happy from hearing those things and getting those things than they are receiving gifts or acts of service, like helping them with their homework or with their chores, like receiving gifts. They love gifts, but not as much as everything else. So that was what I thought it was. But the physical touch for Cadence, again, was surprising to me just because she enjoys those things, but in her time. Which I actually learned about yesterday. I'd heard about it, but it's very similar. So for me, I only gave myself this quiz, no one else. I'm going to go alphabetical order. There's activity, appreciation, emotional, financial, intellectual, physical, and practical. So for me, my highest amount of points was practical love language. People with the practical love language feel loved when their partners chip in with everyday duties and responsibilities. This is like acts of service. They feel cared for when their loved ones do chores or offer help. And then I actually had a tie for second with appreciation and emotional love language. So appreciation love language feel most loved when their partner gives them compliments, praise, and thanks. They appreciate hearing explicitly what their partner likes and admires about them. So feeling appreciated. This is very much like words of affirmation, which I said again, my love languages from the five love languages were a tie almost between words of affirmation, acts of service. So my other tie, I had 12 points between appreciation and emotional. Emotional means those who focus on the emotional love language feel loved. We feel loved when our partner is able to connect with us and support us through difficult and scary emotions. Being present for the highs and the lows are very important to those with emotional love language. So for me, that is very helpful for my anxiety. And I think that's why it was so high up on the list, was because I feel most loved and appreciated and cared for when Kevin is right there for me and supportive when I'm having anxiety or when I'm not feeling well. Now, coming in third is intellectual. I only had 6 points for this. And so it's like cut in half. I had 12 points for emotional and appreciation. I had 6 points for intellectual. People with an intellectual love language like to connect through the mind. They feel loved when their partner values their intelligence, respects their opinion, and takes part in thoughtful discussion of important issues. I mean, I do appreciate this, but not as much as everything else. Coming in fourth is activity, which I was surprised by. I thought it would be higher, but it wasn't. People who focus on the activity love language feel special and valued when their partner takes an interest in their hobbies and activities and makes an effort to enjoy those hobbies and interests together. I thought it would be more than what it was because I really love it when Kevin wants to do things outdoorsy like me, but maybe not so as much as everything else. I mean, it does make me happy, but not as much as everything else. But I do also love doing hobbies by myself, so I guess it does make sense. I like to be independent as well, so that was the fifth one. The next one, coming in at number 5, is physical. People with the physical love language feel loved when they receive physical affection like hugs, holding hands, snuggles. They want their partner to show they're attracted to them and initiate loving touch. I only had 1 point for that. I mean, I enjoy snuggles and holding hands and hugs and stuff, but it's just not as important to me as everything else. But I have to remember that because that is Kevin's main love language. So it's really hard for me too. And I love him so much, but it's hard for me knowing my love languages and remembering his. So I'm on this journey with you guys. The last one is financial, and I had literally a 0 for this. Nothing. No points whatsoever. It says people with the financial love language feel loved when their partner is generous with resources and sees value in spending money to bring their partner pleasure and joy. This love language may be expressed through gifts or just making space in the family budget for your partner's enjoyment. So this is a lot like receiving gifts from the five love languages, which makes sense because mine was 7% and that was the lowest. So let's talk about love language, or what we call appreciation language inventory. This quiz is not free online, but I found a free one. So it talks about not physical touch in the workplace, but words of affirmation, quality time, tangible gifts, and acts of service. So it is very much like what I listed earlier about how to communicate with each other, actions you can take, and what to avoid. Like the words of affirmation, if somebody's appreciation language is words of affirmation, you give them compliments, affirmations, and kind words. You can send notes or cards, but what to avoid would be criticism. If the other person's love language or appreciation language is quality time, they appreciate one-on-one time, not interrupting, and face-to-face conversations. You can celebrate them, do things together, and practice team building. What to avoid would be long periods between one-on-ones, and more time with teammates than with yourself or with that person. Tangible gifts. Communicating with them would be positive face-to-face, face-oriented information. You can give gifts for milestones and accomplishments, but what to avoid would be not recognizing milestones or accomplishments. If their love language or appreciation language is acts of service, you can use words like, I can, I will, and what else can I do? You can help with projects and acts of kindness. What to avoid would be ignoring requests while helping other people. So when I took this quiz I found online, which was pretty accurate, which is what I thought it would be, I had a 12 in quality time and an 11 in words of affirmation and a 4 in acts of service, 3 in gifts. Gifts mean nothing to me. I literally got a $5 gift card from Kroger last year at my last school corporation from the principal, and it's still in my middle console of my car because it doesn't mean much to me at all. But the reason why it was given was because it was a whole situation where people did not feel appreciated, and certain people got rewards for nothing, literally, like Kona ice came for the kids and we were told that we were not going to get that, and then certain teachers were allowed to have it, but certain teachers did not get that opportunity. And so it wasn't about getting Kona ice, it was about the favoritism. It wasn't about Kona ice at all. It was about feeling not appreciated, and that is what hurt. So he thought that giving us a $5 gift card to Kroger of all places would fix the situation. And what we said was, it's not about that. So it's literally still in my middle console. I don't know why. I should just throw it away or give it to someone. It's still sitting there. But anyway, so that was great. I'm glad I switched school corporations. 'Cause now I feel much more appreciated at the place that I'm at, with all the drama that was going on at the last place I was at. So with that said, I want to share a little bit about my last workplace without going too much into it. So quality time, I had a 12. So I communicate best one-on-one and not being interrupted, and to have a face-to-face conversation. So this made a lot more sense to me when I would rather talk to someone face-to-face than email them or text them. I want to talk to them in person. I wanted to talk to the principal in person and feel appreciated. I felt better and more appreciated with celebrations or doing things together, team building stuff. There were not enough one-on-ones, and a lot of time would be spent with other teammates than with me, for example, like with the principal sharing his time with people he appreciated more, I guess you want to say. Can we say favoritism? Yeah. Anyway, so that turned me into a people pleaser. So when you are not feeling appreciated at work and it's turning you into what you're not, it was making me a people pleaser again, because I felt like, what did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? Oh, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So words of affirmation was my next highest score of 11. And so I really appreciated compliments or affirmations and kind words from people, sending notes and cards, but to avoid criticism. I wasn't really criticized, but I don't know. I just really enjoyed the friendships that I had there with certain people. But other people, they were just negative Nancys, and I tried to avoid them. I don't know. Just, do you ever feel like when you're at a workplace, you feel more appreciated when people speak to you kindly and appreciate you and verbalize how they appreciate you and what you've done? That is me. That is how I work. I don't care for gifts, and I don't care for acts of service in the workplace. I do at home, not in the workplace. Acts of service in the workplace, the I can, I will, what can I do to help, it I don't know. It doesn't, it's fine, but it doesn't, like, it's not my highest priority. It's not what makes me feel most appreciated. So think about yours, how you feel most loved and cared for in the workplace, at home, and find that quiz online. It's called an appreciation language inventory. There are free ones. Did you know that there is an apology language? So this is how to heal hurt in your relationships. The types of apology languages are planned change, making restitution, expressing regret, requesting forgiveness, and accepting responsibility. This is on the Five Love Languages main page where you can take these quizzes. So my highest for an apology love language is plan change. And this is how I want to be apologized to. Not how I apologize to other people, but I mean, you know how you apologize to other people if you think about it. I need plan change. That's 40%. So my plan change was the highest one at 40%. For plan change, verbalizing your desire to change, that is the most important thing to me. Not just saying sorry, but verbalizing your desire to change, because I can't read your mind. Verbalizing your plan to change is so important because it shows that you mean it. You are going to try. And change is hard. For my next one, making restitution was at 20%, so it's half of that. So planning change is huge to me because it shows action. Making restitution, that just means that you justify your actions to show that you're sincere. You want to hear that you are still loved. You learn their love language to make restitution in an effective way. So whoever's apologizing to me learns my love language. They apologize in an effective way that aligns with my love language, depending on if it's at work or if it's for home, for family. My next one was expressing regret, which is 16%. That is admission of guilt and shame for causing hurt to another person. You need an I'm sorry verbally and through body language, eye contact, and a simple touch, not an empty I'm sorry that, you know, shows that you're not actually sorry. What I need is an I'm sorry with accountability, with showing that you're going to change. Like, don't just say I'm sorry, because I'll forgive you, but if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you're not really sorry. Requesting forgiveness is very important. So if they ask for forgiveness, that means a lot to me. I will always forgive, but if it happens over and over, it's really hard to forgive when it's happening repeatedly, because that shows that they're not really trying to change. Also, not demanding forgiveness. So if they demand forgiveness, that's going to be kind of hard to give. Accepting responsibility, like admitting that they're wrong, that's my next one, which is at 12%. So that's the same as requesting forgiveness. I always apologize. I express regret. I request forgiveness after that. I always accept responsibility for what I've done in my classroom with my family. I do make restitution by showing, by verbalizing, you know, I justify my actions to show I'm sincere once I've calmed down and realize what I've done is wrong. I always show them that I plan to change and what I'm going to change. So that's important to me. And I also do that with my classroom. We always, you know, if somebody does something to hurt someone else, we talk about, okay, how'd that make you feel? And so in a child, you talk about how it made them feel when somebody did something. They go to that person and, you know, say, it made me feel blank whenever you did this. And the other person is supposed to apologize for doing what they did and showing that they plan on changing their behavior. And the other person can eventually forgive them or forgive them right away. So that's really important to me and for them as well, because it also teaches these littles how to communicate with each other in a healthy way. And when they grow up, they will already have formed this habit and to be able to communicate effectively with other people the older they get. The next thing to talk about is anger assessment. There's actually an anger assessment as well. So this was new to me. So I took the anger assessment, and I know I have a short fuse sometimes. It said that my results are indicative of someone who likely handles my anger well in many situations, but there are still times when my anger is handling me. I need to recognize the areas where I'm doing well in handling my anger, but also be cautious that my anger is not getting out of hand in other ways. It says to think about the situations where my anger comes out most often. Is it with loved ones, at work? What happens when I react angrily? Am I a shouter? Do I turn my anger inward? What words do I tend to use? What feelings tend to come out when I'm angry? And how do those feelings find expression? In good ways or bad? Consider the following possibilities for future action. So these are the action steps it gave me, and I thought it would be beneficial to put these in my podcast episode today in case you're one of these people. So I am very calm, but also I'm not. Like, I have things that push my buttons. It says, you would benefit from better understanding the distinction between good anger and bad anger. So definitive or good anger is a normal response to genuine wrongdoing, injustice, or mistreatment. Distorted or bad anger, on the other hand, is our response to others when we have incorrectly perceived a construed wrongdoing, injustice, or mistreatment. It also says some people look like they have it all together on the outside, rarely appear out of control due to anger, while underneath the facade, they tend to simmer in with unexamined anger. This implosive anger can be characterized by brooding or withdrawal. So that was super interesting to me, knowing, I mean, I knew I had anger, but I handle my anger well in many situations, but there are still times when my anger is handling me. So I need to recognize those areas when I'm doing well, and also be cautious that my anger is not getting out of hand in other ways and what my triggers are. So again, pay attention to not only your friends, your family, your coworkers' love language, but also your pets. Did you know your pets have a love language too? So Django's love language is mostly, he's my dog, my Yorkie. His love language is that he wants to spend so much time with me. He wants quality time more than physical touch. Millie's is the same way. When we had our dog Charles, before we adopted him out, he was like 10. He preferred physical touch over quality time. So I thought that was pretty cool to know their love languages. Pay attention to your friend, your spouse, or your child's love language. When your love language isn't being filled, you will tend to do your own love language on others instead of paying attention to their love language. So try to be aware of that. When you pay attention to others' love languages and fulfill their cups, your cup will also be filled in return, because you will feel better about yourself, but they'll also be paying more attention to your love language. Don't be afraid to tell someone that your cup is empty, and fulfilling your love language will help that. So for classroom teachers, I pay attention to my students' love languages too. They do show signs of them. I do not quiz them on it. Just kind of be aware of what they're asking for, whether it's through their body language or their words. So some kids want hugs. That would be physical touch. Some kids want help or want you to help them, or they want to be your helper. That's acts of service. Some kids want to play with you or sit with you. That's quality time. Or they just want to be around you and to talk, even at recess. Instead of going to play, they stand around you and want to talk to you. Some kids light up the most when you tell them how proud of them you are. That would be words of affirmation. Some kids only want to work hard so they can get a prize. That's receiving gifts. A lot of kids have a lot of these love languages, but try to pay attention to what their main love language is to fill their cup up, okay? So now we're going to talk about the five love languages of self-love care. And I have a different one for my self-love care, which is really funny because it is the one that is the least amount for me. It is the biggest one for me for my self-care. If that makes any sense. So the five love languages of self-care are acts of service, quality time, gifts, words of affirmation, and physical touch. So when you're having a stressful day or a bad day, if your love language is physical touch, you prioritize self-care that makes your body feel good. It's important for you to focus on touching, pampering, moving, and appreciating your body. It's important to show physical love to your body through touch, pampering, and a focus on your well-being, like a massage, comfy clothes, yoga, nap, nutritious meal, a spa day, mani-pedi, a walk, drink of water, a solo dance party. Most of those, even though it's physical touch, are mine. But I like to pamper myself, so, which is really funny, considering it's the least amount of love language through other people that I want. I would rather pamper myself. Okay, so the next love language for self-love is acts of service. And this is all about taking practical steps to make your life run more smoothly. So focusing on acts of service means sometimes doing unpleasant things like cleaning, paying bills, scheduling to make your life easier for your future self. Even like therapy, setting boundaries, which is what I talked about in the last episode, cleaning up your living space, writing in a planner, creating a budget, organizing your closet, which is what I did a couple weeks ago, actually. Completing things on time, taking PD classes like professional development, setting short and long-term life goals. The next one is receiving gifts, and that means buying yourself flowers, getting your favorite coffee. This love language is one of the most misunderstood of all five. It doesn't mean you're greedy or a shopaholic. I kind of am because I love Shein. Can't help it. But if your self-love language is gifts, you know the value of treating and investing in yourself. Like coffee, like I said, vacation for yourself, a new outfit, going out for dinner, buying supplies for a new DIY project, taking yourself out to the mall. What brings you joy? What brings you the most joy? Having a rainy day fund, buying yourself something to celebrate a milestone in your life, picking up items to donate to a local charity even. So the next love language for self-love is quality time. So it's important for you to spend quality time with yourself or to invest time into your hobbies and passions. Take yourself out on a date, spend time reading, meditate, play a video game, watch the sunset, spend time on hobbies, watch your favorite movie, spend time in nature, which is actually very healing. Prioritize alone time when you need it, or even go on a road trip. I feel like I do a little of all of these. So really, whatever brings you joy, whatever fills your cup, do those things, even if it's from every single type of self-love language. The next one is words of affirmation. So people with the words of affirmation self-love language value words and language in their self-love routines. You'll feel the most self-love when you pay attention to the way that you speak to yourself and use words to build yourself up. That could be through journaling, repeating daily affirmations, focusing on positive self-talk, keeping a gratitude journal, practicing complimenting yourself, giving yourself a pep talk, using manifestations, setting clear goals for your future, making a list of your strengths and successes, and reading a self-improvement book. These things are super important anyway, even if you don't want to do them, even if it's not your self-love language. Doing some of these things, if you're practicing negative self-talk, you should practice some of these things to improve your self-love. So with all that said, like I said before, you can take a quiz online for these things, or you can focus on trying to see what your love language is and what others around you are. You don't have to give them a quiz. You can just try to pay attention to what brings them the most joy, how they feel most appreciated, or even ask them what you can do to make them feel most appreciated. So fill up buckets, don't empty them. It's important to know each other's love language and to know your own self-love language as well, because this is really healthy for having a better relationship with others around you, with your loved ones, with your family, with friends, with coworkers. It's important to know your love language in order to love yourself, in order to fill your own cup. This is super important for your own mental health, and it will help with anxiety, it will help with relationships, and it will help you to not get back into those toxic traits or habits that you had before, like I did, if you did have any, like people pleasing. I would people please when my cup was empty, at work especially, because I would feel like, what did I do wrong? So in order to feel better about myself, I would say yes to everything, and I would not be myself around people. I would like do what I could for other people just to feel appreciated, and then it would backfire and I wouldn't feel appreciated anyway. So it really doesn't work to people please. And it also makes you not who you are. So, you know, if people don't love you for who you are, you need to cut them out of your circle. Or before that, talk to them. Talk to them about how you're feeling. It's important to express with words how you're feeling and how they're making you feel. Okay, that's it for me, guys, today. Remember, just love yourself. I know it's easier said than done, but do what you can to figure out your love language, your self-love language, and other love languages around you. Have a wonderful day. Bye.